Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed, life at times can seem very dull and uninteresting, just as if we are being carried along as a cork on a bobbing sea. Or perhaps just the opposite, where events seem to be going so rapidly, and we are so busy, that we feel that we are literally out of control. At those times, we feel agitated, nervous, concerned about the future, and even listening to some modern psychologist feel that something has to be wrong with us. But the assurance that we have is that God is in control. Not only does God never lose control, we have every reason to believe from Scripture that He controls all things for us. I thought how appropriate that God even controls and is working through the mundane things of life or the ecclesiastical things of life. That the first reading for Easter 5 was that passage out of Acts, talking about Philip and the eunuch from Ethiopia. What an appropriate time in the life of a seminary campus to have a text about the Philip the Evangelist being called out of Samaria down to a dusty desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Let me refresh your memories or read it for the first time if some of you were in churches that weren't following Series B. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explain it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch went on rejoicing. Philip appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This passage has much to say to all of us. And I know there are some in the congregation here this morning who are not SEM4s who have just received calls, SEM2s who are heading out on vicarages, or 3s going out on delayed vicarages. Our wives, staff people, and guests. I would urge all of you to apply these words equally to yourself in terms of God's time and God's task for each of us. Uniquely here is Philip, the evangelist at Samaria. If we read the beginning verses of Acts 8, we find out that Philip was an exceedingly successful missionary. That Lord used his message as he preached it in Samaria powerfully, and many came to believe on their Lord Jesus Christ. So here is a man working successfully at a ministry. And he gets a call. Perhaps a little bit more direct than those of you who got it last Tuesday and Wednesday. But a call nonetheless. A call out of what could humanly be speaking is very successful ministry, and he's told simply, go down to that road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. Unless you doubt which road, I mean the one that goes through the desert. Philip leaves Samaria and goes down. He sees the Ethiopian in the chariot, and again, he just gets the simple words, go join yourself to the chariot. Jog up there and run alongside. There's not much to go on. Some of you who got calls last week would have been horrified if that's all it said in a supplement to the call. There's a road out there in North Dakota. Go start walking down it, and I'll show you the rest. Philip goes, and he hears, and takes the task. And for all of us in our lives, let's take a look at the Ethiopian for just a minute. Just coincidence? That this man, this proselyte of the gate, had to travel to Jerusalem just at the right time to worship, even though he knew he would never get in past the court of the Gentiles. Leave at just the right time so that Philip would be walking along the road just at the right time. We know better than that, my dear friends. This is not coincidence, as it is not just coincidence in our lives. This is God very directly controlling the lives of two men to bring them together for one to serve and one to be served. And the task developed gradually, did it not? Talk about a developing ministry. But Philip, you see, was open to ministry. That was his mindset. What can I do to serve my Lord? How can I bring the message of my Lord to others? And so he wasn't intrusive. He just simply asks a direct question. Do you understand what you're reading? That leads, after a very brief conversation, to his sitting with the Ethiopian expounding Scripture. What Scripture? Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, talking about the suffering servant. The evangelist of the Old Testament with pure gospel. We know the result of that faith, baptism, service. We not also this morning have to apply those same words of Isaiah 53 to us. For whom did that servant suffer? Why was he led to the slaughter? We know it was for nothing he had done. It was for that guilt and iniquity and sin and punishment that you and I deserved. Oh, how we deserved. It was he that went silently as the sheep to the slaughter. His blood was shed instead of our blood. And we need that message day after day after day in our lives because it talks to service. It talks to what we have become and who we are and what attitudes we will have toward life around us. It is by the faith through this gospel that we are the branches that are grafted into that vine that we heard in last Sunday's gospel lesson. It is from him through that faith that the sap flows within us to bring forth the fruit that he would have us bring forth at the tasks that he lays before us. It is with the faith that comes along from that gospel that we also ask the question that Peter asked in our reading today for the disciples. Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. It's from that gospel, and that we know that from that innocent shedding of the blood, that Luther so wonderfully in that explanation to the second article says we were redeemed, and that includes our time. We were redeemed not by gold and silver, but with his holy, precious blood. Why? That I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. This morning it's also confession time, is it not? We must admit we do not always arise to the occasion that the Lord puts before us. Philip could have, as we often do, make excuses. Can you imagine the excuses that Philip could have come up with? Lord, I didn't get here very much long ago. Lord, I got a good thing going here. My ministry is so profitable here. You can't really mean you want me to go out to the... We have even a hint of that in our reading. Philip goes. We are very adept at excuses. But even there does not that beautiful gospel message speak to us again. That God even forgives for Jesus' sake our excuses. He strengthens us beyond our excuses. He encourages us through word and sacrament so that we again can become alert. That's what it is, my dear friends. It's an alertness. It's an alertness to the world around us. It's an alertness to opportunity. It's an alertness that says we can interject ourselves into the lives of people. We're interested in them. Do you know what you're reading? Can I help you, brother? I'm interested in you, sister. See, we live in this gospel, we live waiting for opportunity and direction. seize upon them and will use them for him. Then we go on like Philip to the next ministry. Or if that next ministry isn't so evident immediately, at least we can go on like the Ethiopian. He went on his way rejoicing. Now, if you hear this message, then you can't say life is dull or uninteresting or too busy or out of control. He's in control. He's the one who's readying the next ministry for us. He's the one who's readying the next task for us. It's only for us to go on our way and continuing ministering for him. And that's exciting, and that makes life worth living. God grant that each and every one of us live it that way for him. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.